Our text for this series, Romans, the 8th chapter, 14th and 16th verses, Proverbs, the 20th chapter, the 27th verse, Romans 8, verse 14, 16, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Verse 16, "The Spirit itself," or as the margin says, "himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Or, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord." So that means that God will enlighten us and guide us through our spirits. To understand thoroughly about how God leads us through our spirits, we have to understand, as we've established in these lessons, that man is a spirit being, that he has a soul, that he lives in a body, that it's a spirit part of our being that's born again, become a new man in Christ Jesus, that the soul, the saving of the soul, is a process as our minds are renewed through the Word of God, that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your minds. Praise the Lord. And then we have found that the majority of times, the way that God leads all Christians and all believers is by the inward witness. His Spirit bears witness with our spirits concerning the most important thing of life, that we are the sons of God, children of God. Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Then secondly, he leads by the inward voice. And when we talk about the inward voice, we've already discussed these things. I'm just summing up. We're talking about what we call sometimes the still, small voice on the inside of us. We don't hear it so much of the time because we're too noisy with our minds or active with our bodies. But there is a text in the Old Testament where God said in the Psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." We don't get still enough a lot of times to hear that. Too much clamor otherwise. And that still small voice is the voice of our own spirit speaking to us. Well, you see, our spirits are born again, have the life, the nature of God in them, have the Spirit of God in them. Our spirits are a new man in Christ Jesus. And that voice is a safe guide. As long as you're walking in fellowship with God. Now, if you backslid, get away from God, that's a different question entirely. But that's not a subject at this time. And so, then he leads also by the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us, which is more authoritative. Sometimes it's just on the inside of you, but it's a little stronger than that still small voice. Or sometimes it's so strong until you think somebody spoke to you aloud, even. I have a number of times. There's some scriptures in the New Testament. In the Acts, for instance, we looked at one as an illustration where, as Peter fell into the trance on the housetop and had the vision, and then as he's thinking on the vision, he said, "The Spirit said to him." The Spirit said something to him. The Holy Ghost said something to him. He said, "There are three men come, you know, from Cornelius' house. Go with them, nothing doubting." Peter, in rehearsing what had happened in the 11th chapter of Acts to the brethren at Jerusalem, said, "The Spirit bade me go." On another occasion, we'll not take the time to look at it, but Paul in the Acts of the Apostles and his company were in Asia Minor, and they intended evidently to go into Asia with the gospel. And all the Bible said is that the Spirit forbade them. Here one time the Bible said, Peter said, "The Spirit bade me go." Here concerning Paul, the Bible said, that the Spirit forbade them to go into Asia. They intended to go, the Spirit forbid them, in other words, to go. I don't know how he said it, whether he spoke to them. Evidently, it was all collectively agreed to. Then in the night time, Paul saw a man. He had a vision. He saw a man stand up and say, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so you remember Paul went over to Macedonia, to Philippi. You remember the story. And he resorted thither to the riverside on the Sabbath day where prayer was wont to be made. And there was one Lydia, seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened. This woman became the first convert on the European continent. And Christianity spread to Europe, to Asia. Later on, evidently, Thomas went to India. But now, why would you suppose that the Spirit forbade Paul and his company to go into Asia? But I don't know altogether. I have a suggestion. I don't know that it's fact. But I think you can see this, that the Spirit knows who's susceptible to the gospel and who isn't. Amen. Isn't that right? And Christianity spread, you see, into Europe. Because the Spirit knew, God knew they were more susceptible to the truth. I used to pray. Now, in starting out, when I first left my church in field ministry, going to churches, holding what we call church revivals, naturally, I just took any door that opened. You don't have to worry about whether that's where God wants you or not. You want to stay busy. It's better than sitting down doing nothing. In fact, I sort of like that better than I did when I had so many doors open to me. Because then you got to make decisions. You got to do some waiting on God and decide where does he want me to go. But when just one door is open, I just took that one. I didn't stop and question, didn't even pray about it, didn't even take time to pray. Because I needed to be busy for God. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I just found whatever I could do. Well, after a while, in the process of time, it'll take you. Back in those days particular, building up on what we'd call the evangelistic field or field ministry, it would actually take you 2 years out there to build up where you didn't have any blank spots. You know what I mean? Busy constantly. And then you'd get so many calls, you know, until I said, now, Lord, there's just no use going to some places. You're almost wasting your ministry, just wasting your time, you know. See, now I was going to Spirit-filled Christians, but all Spirit-filled Christians are not open, churches are not open to the Word of God. And so I said, you know where the message would be received, now you lead me. And I depended on the inward witness, praise the Lord, and the inward voice, and God never led me wrong, and he never will. I made a few mistakes sometimes, but he didn't. I knew sometimes when I went to some places that I shouldn't go. How'd you know it? Well, I just knew it in here. You know, I didn't have any voice, but I just knew it. But I sort of had the word out, and I said, well, I'm going to prove something, and I proved it all right. And it sure cost me. It was expensive. It cost me dollars and cents. I had to go to the bank and borrow money to keep myself going. What if I'd listened to God? I wouldn't. Well, now that mistake cost me. But then, in about 3 months' time, see, I had to go to the bank and borrow several hundreds of dollars. And if I'd listened to the inward witness, I wouldn't even have gone to that state, to that city, to that church. And so I've got that money borrowed there for 3 months, that hundreds of dollars, and some more I had to borrow, too. But then I learned a valuable lesson. Now, that wasn't God's way of teaching me. If I'd listened to him, I wouldn't have had to suffer the problems and so on. See what I'm talking about? But at least I did learn this, to listen. But you'll have to realize that we had no teaching about in those days about following the Lord and being led of the Spirit. And so, 3 months after this episode, and I guess that would be a good way to call it, episode. Did you ever get it in here? I was holding a meeting in a certain place. And the meeting was scheduled for 3 weeks. Well, we were over in the third week, and I'd already figured up because, see, I'd gotten behind because of this episode. I borrowed money just enough, you know, sort of to keep me going, but pay off some things. But I was running behind, and I figured up that if my finances were as good as they had been, and actually this church was paying me $100 more every week than than my average. See, so I was way above my average. But I'd already figured up when I got everything paid, I mean, if the offering runs this third week as good as it has the other two, which it usually does, a little better, by then, when I get everything paid up now, not the bank note, but everything else, I've got 10 cents left. One dime. But I couldn't get clear on where to go from here. Now, I've got on down the line, even down into the fall. This was in the spring, or late spring. Yet, I've got most of the summer and all the fall dated up, scheduled, you see, because I'm clearing my spirit on it. But this immediate time, just after. Well, now, you can get into the natural and miss God if you're not careful. You know, my wife and I got off bed. She was with me on this particular meeting. And we got to talking about, and rejoicing in the fact that if our offerings run as good as they were, we're going to pay up, you see, and I'll have a dime left. But then, you see, if you don't work, they're going to start piling up on you again. How many of you know that? We don't have any income, you see. Well, children's in school. Everything goes on, They've got to eat and so on. So I got to, I couldn't get settled in my spirit. Every time I'd say, well, I'll go here, I'll go there, I'd have a check in my spirit. See, I'd been praying about this whole 3 weeks. And so I've got to immediate time immediately after this, just, a couple of weeks in there or more that I don't, or maybe 2 weeks and a half I don't have filled in. And so as we were talking, I said there, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Brother so-and-so in a certain place had contacted me and talked to me personally, written me a letter and phoned me. And he said in our town, wasn't a real large town, 30, 35, 40,000, maybe 50,000 population. Five full gospel churches there. Two Assembly of God, two Churches of God, and one independent Pentecostal church. And they all had gotten together and wanted me to come hold a meeting, and they could rent their city auditorium that received about $2,000 for $15 a day to the local church. If I'd come in, they'd charge me more. Just enough salt to pay the light bill then. Light bills weren't high then. More you use, the cheaper God. Anybody remember that, he said, Brother Hagin, actually our town's small, this auditorium just sits there most of the time, nothing in it. Because who's going to the little town, 50,000, 60,000 for, 40,000 for a convention, And he said, usually we can just get it just on the spur of the moment. And if nothing else, if something cancels out on you, he said, just call me. Just call me by Thursday. And I'll get an ad in the paper on Friday, and we'll put it on the radio, and then we'll announce it in every church, and we'll just fill that thing up. So you see, here I am up about Monday night, we're talking. I got all this week, and I said, well, I just believe I'll go call him. And then we can just start next Monday night. He said, we'll start on Monday night. And I'll just run there for a couple of weeks. Well, I got up in the house we were staying in, went to the telephone, picked up the phone, you had to go through the operator, dial the operator, and in fact, I didn't dial the operator, and before it could ever ring, something on the inside of me just said, don't do it. I mean, just a still, small voice, not an audible voice, just the voice of my own conscience, my own spirit speaking to me. So I just hung the phone up. Well, I said, what am I going to do? And I didn't, the voice said, well, just wait. So I went back and got in bed, and my wife said, well, what did he say? I said, I didn't call him. She said, well, why? I said, well, I just had a check in my spirit about it. Well, the very next, on Wednesday then, we let them go then. Wednesday night we got tongue because I hadn't got any leading now, and Sunday this is over, you see. And so we got to talking again, And I said, well, at this date, I won't call that other fellow up there because it'd be hard to get that many people together. There's another fellow close by here, just about 100 miles away. He said, Brother, if you just call me on Friday, if you can come, in my church. And he said, I'll get it all out. And so I said, I'll just call him. It's closer and go up there 1 week. Then I'll call the other man up in the other state and we'll go up there, the following week and then a week and a half. So I went to the phone to call this fellow. Picked up the phone, something on the inside of me said, no. I mean, not just real strong, but just a still, small voice that most folks would have missed. And just had a check in my spirit. So I just hung up the phone, went back, got in bed, and I said, well, what did call this fellow's name? What did he say? I said, I didn't call it. She said, why? I said, well, I had a check in my spirit. And then I said, after I'd hung up the phone, she had already taken it off, already dialed before it could ring, you know. As I stood there, I said to the Lord, Lord, now what am I going to do? You know, bills have to be paid, rent has to be paid, and children have to be fed, and we go on, you know. Car payments are due, and, you know, so on and so forth. You take a couple of weeks and a half off for 3 weeks, and you're in trouble again. You've gotten behind. And so I said, he said, well, just stay where you are. Well, I said, I'm not going to say to that fellow, you know, God wants me to stay here another week, that pastor. I never have told pastor that, even if God didn't tell me. I said, well, he said, just hold steady, because if you don't, you're going to miss something good. Well, I hate to miss something good, don't you? So I said, all right. And you know, it's hard to hold steady if you can't see anything. You got to hold steady in faith. You can't see anything. Nothing more. You know, I mean, you just don't see it. It's hard. Hard on the flesh. Hard on your natural mind. And so I just told my wife what was spoken to me, what I picked up. I don't mean that audible voice of the Spirit of God speaking to me. I mean, I just picked it up in my spirit, more of an inward witness, more of a check not to do it, more of just a still, small something on the inside of me. And I said, if I move, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to miss something good. So I just don't want to miss something good. I said to her, bless God, if necessary, he's able to do it. Just take the time off. Don't take any time off anyway. He'll just send it in. If he has to send the ravens to feed us, he'll do it. Well, then, we got off to sleep, or started to, and I'm lying there in bed meditating. That's one way you develop your spirits, to meditate, and I want to talk some about that, and about developing our spirit. And so as I was meditating, on the inside of me, I couldn't tell you for my life how I knew it. I don't have a voice or something, but I just knew in here that when I went to the service the next morning, the pastor was going to ask me to stay another week. See? So I purposely, because I stand in one town going over to his town to preach, I went early, give him a chance. Four people got that youth, and I just come in time to preach. And as I went in, nobody else there. He's in his church studying. He said, brother, they can come in here a minute. So I went in. He said, hey, he talked a little bit and then stumbled around and said, I got something to ask you. He said, yeah, I said, I know what it is. And the answer is yes. He said, can you stay another week? I said, yeah, I can. I can stay another week. Well, he said, the board asked me to see you. You know, we just had to schedule three. Now, we'd like to, what we'd like for you to do, because, see, I was teaching in the daytime and preaching at night. This fourth week, we'd like for you, if you will, just teach both day and night, because so many of our people, see, work in the daytime, and they're not getting the teaching. We didn't have all the tape recorders and everything we got now, you see, to keep it, you know. And so he said, just teach. And we had just as big crowd, a house full every night that fourth week teaching, see. But not only did I get my offering that fourth week, and not only was it bigger than any one of the others by far, by another extra $100, but an individual came to me in no connection with that meeting. Now, not a member of that church, didn't live in that town. An individual called around to locate me and said, the Lord told me to give you $1,000. I said, I don't doubt it. Bring it on over. Now, if I'd have moved, I'd have missed that, see? That's the reason he said, stay here, you see, you're going to miss something good. You know? Praise the Lord. So it cost me 3 months before, by not listening to the Spirit, $500, but I made $1,000 by listening. So I learned to listen. Amen. Well, you're not going to learn that overnight, but you'll learn it eventually, so stay with it. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get down to this now. Let's study about guidance through the gift of prophecy, because we see some things here from the New Testament. If you have your Bibles open to the Acts again, we'll see But the Bible said, in the 20th chapter of Acts, Paul, speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus in his farewell message, said in Acts 20, verse 22 and 23, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Now listen. "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying," the Holy Ghost said something. 13th chapter of Acts, remember, read that as those five ministry gifts, Paul and Barnabas included, waited, ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work we're unto have called them." Here he said, "The Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Well, the Holy Ghost said it. This isn't just an inward witness. It isn't just a still small voice. The Holy Ghost either said it or he said it by what we call prophecy or tongues interpretation, because they're all interrelated. Then the 21st chapter, here Paul, on his journey, landed at Tyre, and there the ship was to unlay their burden, third verse. "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit." So then, therefore, these disciples either prophesied or they spoke with tongue interpreted. They said through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now hold that all in your mind, please. Now, as he went on his journey, the Word of God tells us the next day, the 8th verse, Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7 that abode with him. The same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost." This is what the Holy Ghost is saying. "So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we," now remember, Luke is the writer of the Acts, "and when we," that means Luke and the other people of Paul's company, "when we heard these things, both we and they of that place," that is Philip, the believers, this company of believers that were there in his house, "besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" Now, some people thought that Paul missed it. But if you go on reading, when he did go up there and was arrested, you'll find that the Bible tells us that Jesus stood by Paul in the night. Appeared to him evidently in a vision. He didn't rebuke him because he hadn't missed it. See, if he had, he would have told him. But he said, "Fear not, Paul. You must bear witness of my name," you see, "before the king," and so on, even Caesar. Praise God forevermore. No, all God was doing was preparing him for what was ahead of him. Are you listening to me now? You'll notice that you've got 2 things here. You've got the gift of prophecy, and then you have the ministry of the prophet. And we make mistakes because we confuse the two, and the two are different. They're not the same. In studying the gift of prophecy in connection with guidance, we need to understand that the ministry of the prophet and that the gift of prophecy, while closely associated, are not the same. Many times the two are confused. The fact that one prophesies does not make him a prophet. The Word of God plainly teaches that everyone should seek to prophesy. If prophesying made you a prophet, then it would seem that the Lord was saying that everyone ought to want to be a prophet. Let's look at 1 Corinthians and what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 12:29, he asked the question, are all apostles or all prophets? 1 Corinthians 12:29, that's only a part of the verse. Are all prophets? Well, the answer is no. Well, since all could not be prophets, he would not tell us to seek something that we could not have. But all can prophesy, because here in 1 Corinthians he encouraged everybody to seek to prophesy. The Bible teaches that the simple gift of prophecy is speaking unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue, your own tongue. Speaking with tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. That is, it's unknown to you. It may not be unknown to everybody that was present. Sometimes prophecy can be used in prayer as well as tongues. Sometimes when you are prophesying, it'll seem, I know myself in my old experience, seem like there's two of them. Seem like I'm standing right beside myself. Well, see, it's coming out of my inward man. There is an inward man, there's an outward man. Seems to me sometimes that I'm just standing there listening to myself. Seem like there's somebody standing right beside me. I realize that that's the inward man where the Spirit of God is that's prophesied, and I'm listening with these natural ears to see what it said to myself. The prophecy is coming out of the inward man. The outward man is listening, you see, what's happening. Now, there is the office of a prophet. We'll get into detail on these things later on, teaching on ministry gifts, but we must, concerning guidance, touch it briefly now. For a man to be a prophet, he stands in that office and uses that ministry. There are other things that go along to make it the ministry of the prophet, besides prophesying. The simple gift of prophecy is for speaking unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. In the simple gift of prophecy, there is no foretelling, no prediction whatsoever. However, in the ministry of the prophet, there is foretelling and prediction very often, because he has the revelation gifts in operation along with prophecy. That is, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and our discerning of spirits. Spiritual things, we need to realize, men and women, can be misused as well as natural things can be misused. A lot of folks have never realized that, but that's absolute truth. They think because it's spiritual, it has to be perfect. It can't be misused, but that's wrong. Spiritual things can be misused just like natural things can be misused. I've seen people that were one time wealthy who are now bankrupt because they listened to somebody prophesy to them how to invest their money. Lost everything they had. Because, you see, they were trying to seek guidance through the ministry of the prophet. That may happen or it may not happen, but under the new covenant, you don't seek that. You've got the Spirit of God for yourself. I remember a dear man was in my meeting. I did not know him that well. I just knew who he was. To say that I was really closely acquainted with him would be a misnomer. I did know who he was. I had, I suppose, one time along with some others gone out at a restaurant and eaten with the fellow. Just because you've seen a man four or five times in life don't mean you know him. I knew who he was. But he was in one of my meetings. And I was inspired by the Spirit. See, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know that he had never make a business deal without calling this so-called prophet or prophetess, you see, to prophesy to him what to do. I didn't know that. But I said to him, I seem to be impressed or inspired to say this to you. You're going to lose everything you've got and go bankrupt if you keep listening to whoever's advising you. But he didn't listen. And the poor fellow, who was very wealthy, lost his home, lost everything he had. Everything he had. Amen. Lost everything. I've seen that happen more than once. I've seen that happen more than once. Not just one time. Not just one time. More than once. Well, ministers. I've seen ministers. I've been in the ministry 43 years. You know, you'd stumble up on a few things in 43 years. You'd have to be too smart. Just fall over a few things. I've seen ministers who have lost their ministry because of wrong prophecies. I don't mean anything wrong about it. I do not like to get on the negative side, but you have to sometimes. You have to judge prophecies by the Word of God. If it's not in line with the Word of God, it's not right. Secondly, you've got to judge personal prophecies by what you have in your own spirit. And if you don't have it in your own spirit, don't you accept it. Now, I traveled more extensively in days gone by than I have now. You know, I was traveling constantly. Now then, I'm not gone so much because I'm here in the school teaching. I never go anywhere. And the last meeting in Dallas was no exception. I never go anywhere on any meeting, weekend meeting, crusade, or what? But what always, somebody's got a word for me from the Lord, and sometimes two or three of them. And in all of these years, there's only been one or two of them that's correct. 99 and 99, 100% of them was wrong. Amen. Don't build your life on prophecies. Don't guide your life by prophecies. Build your life on the Word. Let those other things be secondary. Put the Word of God first. Amen. You still here? You gone home? Well, I didn't figure you'd holler amen so loud on that. If you want to save yourself a lot of trouble, you better listen. Now, if you want to be hard-headed and pay an awful price, well, go ahead. Amen. Amen. You have to judge prophecies by the Word of God. Now, some people might say, well, if God's doing it, it has to be all right. But you got to realize that it isn't exactly God doing it. It is men doing it by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And anything that man has anything to do with is not perfect. The Spirit of God is perfect. The gifts of the Spirit in themselves are perfect. But they certainly are not always perfect in manifestation because they're manifested through imperfect vessels. Did you get that? Amen. This is the reason that prophecies and tongues with interpretation need to be judged by the Word. You were there in 1 Corinthians. We were there a moment ago in 12th chapter. Look into the 14th chapter and the 29th verse and see what the Word says. Why we're not intelligent enough to listen to the Word, I don't know. It's easy to get carried away with inspiration, though, and leave the Word. All right, what did Paul say? I like to put it this way, the Spirit of God say through the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 14:29, let the prophets, he's talking about prophets here now, not just everybody prophesying, but prophets, speak two or three and let the other judge. That is, the other prophets judge. You don't just accept it because the prophet said it. Let the others judge. You see, they are to be judged according to the Bible. They are not to be accepted without first judging them. You're not judging people, you're judging what was said. Now notice the 30th verse. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, talking about another prophet, let the first hold his peace. You see, prophets have revelations. Others might occasionally, but prophets have a ministry along this line. God could give any spirit-filled person a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom whenever he wanted to for their own benefit or to help somebody else. The vocal gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy operate under the unction of the Spirit. And it might be that God through that method would give us a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or revelation as we need it. But we initiate the operation of prophecy. We initiate the operation of tongue interpretation. Because you're the one that's got to speak it. Someone said sometime, but God made me do that. I couldn't help but say that. Well, 1 Corinthians 14:32 said the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means you don't have to. The spirit of the prophet or subject, see, it comes out of your spirit. It's subject to the prophets. You see, many a time when the Spirit of God's moving, anybody that prophesies could prophesy, but that don't mean they should necessarily. Many a time when the Spirit of God's in manifestation, anybody who, as we call it, gives messages in tongues and interpret could do it, but that don't mean you should do it just because you could. Have that unction of the Spirit to do it or else don't. If you haven't got that unction, amen, pressing it through, well, just sit there and let God use somebody else who has it. Are you listening? See, it shouldn't be done without the unction of the Spirit, but sometimes it is. You ever notice that sometimes? I was in a church one time holding a meeting years ago. 7 weeks meeting, great meeting really. But every single night, about the time, same place, same spot, about the time the pastor was taking up the offering, he's talking about the offering, what it went for. Some nights it would be mine, some nights it went for the radio ministry of the local church, some nights just their general expense, and he'd explain what it's for tonight, you see. And just about the time they got ready to pass the plates, this woman always got up and spoke with tongues. Said the same thing. I mean, after 7 weeks, I could have done as good as she did. I mean, said the same thing she said, you see, because she always said the same thing in tongues in the same place. No inspiration, no, and if nobody else interpreted, why, she would, or tried to. And it just went out like, you know, just like cold water over the crowd, just killed the service. It deadened it. It didn't liven it up. It deadened it. Well, I was teaching an auditorium class for the pastor. He asked me to do that because he had to be out of town on one of these Sundays. And I was teaching this auditorium class. He had all the older folks, both men and women, several hundred of them in there, really. And really, this wasn't in connection with the lesson, but believe it or not, I got through before the bell rang. That's unusual. And one of the deacons of the church said, "But Megan, could I ask a question?" I said, "Well, yeah, I thought he was going to ask something in line with the lesson." He said, "When messages of tongues, as we call it, are given in public assembly with interpretation, shouldn't they be a blessing to the congregation? Should it kill the service?" Well, that dear woman sitting right in front of me, I mean, she had enough sense to tell that every time she spoke, it killed the thing. I mean, it deadened it. I said, "Well, that's beside the lesson. I hate to get into that right now." But some of the leaders of the church spoke and said, "Brother, I think we ought to answer that." And I said, "Well, no, if it's in the Spirit, it would lift the service up. It would lift the spirits of the service higher. It wouldn't push them down." Now, that woman was intelligent enough to catch on to that. She came to me and said, "Brother Hagin, I'm wrong, am I not?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, you are." She said, you know, I thought all the time, well, something witnessed on the inside of me that I was, but said I wanted to be used of God. Bless her heart. I wanted to be used of God, but said something witnessed on the inside of me. I've been knowing that for some time, and I'm going to stop that. I said, thank you. You're a real blessing to the church. Now, other folks may have got mad about it. Said, oh, well, they won't allow God to move. There's a difference in allowing God to move. Besides that, let me stop off long enough to tell you something. You see, God's not an idiot. He's not a fool. He's not stupid. You think God's going to all the trouble to set up governments in the church and the pastor and the shepherd and then bypass everybody and start moving out there in the crowd and never let him know what he's doing? Always when I was a pastor, I'd always know when somebody had something. Sometime I'd encourage them. If he can call them and say, Sister so-and-so, go ahead and give that out. I knew in my spirit. If you'd be sensitive enough, you know, isn't that strange that he'd call on a man to lead the service and then hide from him what he's going to do in the service? Wouldn't that be stupid? Wouldn't that be stupid? Now, don't misunderstand me. Right on the other hand, I realize this. Something like a Baptist preacher down in Texas said this. Some folks, and I'm sure, wouldn't recognize the Holy Ghost if they saw him coming down the street with a red hat on. And there's some spirit-filled preachers that I know of that wouldn't recognize the moving of the Spirit of God. They've got their little old program, you know, and God tries to get in and move, and he can't hardly because they don't recognize. See, we've got two extremes here. But let's see to it that we're sensitive enough to know what God's wanting to do in that service. Praise the Lord. You still here? You're going home. Well, that's beside the point. I'll get back when I get over into the ministry gift discussing that. But I wanted to talk about the fact about guidance through prophecies and prophets, so on. Now, you see, I said that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, as the Bible said here in 1 Corinthians 14:32. And it's subject to us. We shouldn't speak out without the unction of the Spirit. Sometimes folks do speak out, like this woman was, without the unction of the Spirit. Now, this doesn't do away with the fact that that her tongues was real. However, they were in imperfect operation. They've been misused, you see. Imperfect operation. Let me give you one final word of caution along this line concerning prophecies and guidance. I admonish folks to be very careful about personal prophecies. So many lives have been shipwrecked and ruined. Don't you ever marry somebody because somebody prophesied you ought to. I've been around 43 years and never saw one of them work out yet. I've seen many of them. Never saw one of them that ever worked yet. Amen. Never seen a one that worked. Homes have been broken up. Don't you go into the ministry because somebody prophesied you should. You get it on the inside of you yourself. If it confirms what you've already got, all right. Amen. If it confirms what you already have, that's what Jesus said to me when he appeared to me in that vision. He said, if the prophecy confirms what you already have, accept it. If it doesn't confirm it, don't. And that's the use of it, is to confirm. You notice here it said, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. He had already called them. This is just a confirmation of it. Last church I pastored, young minister in the church. Well, I said young minister. Actually, they weren't. They were called to the ministry. I did not know that they were necessarily. I had a sense about it. My wife and I told him, I said, you know, I believe God's the hand of the Lord's on that person. God is calling them to the ministry. Young person, you see. Beautiful spiritual person. And I said, well, I have that conviction myself. But I'm not going to call anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody they're called, even if I know they are. Are you listening? I'll tell you why. Because when you get out there in the ministry, it isn't always easy. Paul told Timothy, he's a young minister, endure hardness as a good soldier. And when the way gets hard, then it's going to get hard. Don't worry about that. You can have the victory. Now, don't misunderstand me. Then they're going to say a lot of time, I've seen them do it. Well, I just went and called Daddy said so, or Mama said so, or somebody prophesied to me. I really don't know who I'm called. But when you make that dedication from your own spirit that I'm called, then you're going to stand through hell or high water. Are you listening to me? Amen. Don't just do something because somebody else said it. So I did not tell this young person. Never have I told anybody, even if I didn't know it. I've known sometime by revelation, by the Spirit of God actually telling me. And I still didn't tell them. I waited to confirm it after they had made the dedication and stated that God called me. I know He did. Then I confirmed it before I didn't, even though I knew it. And so, we were all praying around the altar in a Sunday night service. Well, I just went around, laid hands on people, prayed on them as God would lead me. I stopped by. This young person was kneeling there in the altar in intense prayer, and I just stopped, laid hands on him. Supposed by the lead of the Lord that I'd just pray. But I found myself, actually, I heard the words coming out of my mouth, and I thought, you know, almost for a minute, who said that? And I realized that I'm saying it. I heard myself say to that young person, this is a confirmation of what I said to you at 3 o'clock this afternoon as you were praying down in the storm cellar. You asked for a confirmation, and this is it. That was me speaking to you. And went right on to somebody else praying for me. Then after the prayer service over, I said to this young person, you know, I don't really know. I didn't know. I felt like God had handled, but I didn't know. I said, were you praying down in the storm cellar at 3 o'clock this afternoon? I was. Did that confirm it? I wanted to check up on if I'm wrong. I want to get right, don't you? If I missed it, I'll just admit I missed it. Don't be afraid to say I missed it. Amen. You know, when I first started learning to drive a car, I missed it a few times, run up over the curb. But I didn't quit driving just because I missed it, did you? We ought to have as much sense about spiritual things. Just because I missed it, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going to see to it I don't miss it again. So I just checked up on it, see? And this young person said, yes, and I was praying. Said, you know, Brother Hagin, I felt sometime that God had a call on my life. I didn't say yea nor nay. And so said, I was spending time praying. I got down in the storm cellar. Now, they had it a beautiful in that part of the country. They had a lot of storm. They had this individual's daddy had a beautiful storm cellar, you know, equipped with electricity and everything, even if electricity, you know, general public electricity went off, had a backup system, so on. So they just got down there to pray in the afternoon because it's a nice place, really, and just like a basement, you know, and had electricity and all. And I was praying, meditating, waiting on God, read the Bible, and said, I felt like it. The Lord spoke to me and said, I have called you to the ministry, and I'll confirm that tonight in the service. I didn't know how. Well, you see, I found myself being led to lay hands on this young person and pray. And when I did, I found myself saying, this is a confirmation of what I said to you at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So that confirmed it, you see. Now, that's a good manifestation of it, see. But now, if it doesn't bear witness with or confirm something you already have, don't you accept it. Because you can really get in trouble along those lines. Amen. So I admonish folks to be very careful about personal prophecies. And they should be. As long as the gift of prophecy stays in the realm of speaking to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort, that's wonderful. Encourage that. But many times someone who prophesies may see a prophet minister, and he might have a word of foreknowledge occasionally, then he begins to think, I prophesy so I can do that. So he moves out of the place where he should be into the other realm and is misled and is misguided. Some folks said to me one time in one of our seminars over in our other office building we used to have when we first moved up here from another city here in Oklahoma, a group of them came to our seminar, and I said, and so a lady said to me, said, "Brother Ingham, this is all new to us." Said, "Actually, I belong to the Episcopal Church, and the group that came with it, we're all Spirit-filled Episcopalians. And in our town, we have a prayer group, and, you know, weekly, we have this prayer group." She said, this lady said, though, said, "I want to ask you something." Now, see, this was new. In these things, she was a baby. And sometimes it's mighty easy for people, you know, who are babies and who don't know to be misled. And she said, "Some of them think I'm wrong, but I said, what we're doing is not right." She said, "I don't even know why they call it a weekly prayer service, because," said, "they never do pray. I mean, maybe they open with prayer, but," said, "all they do is just lay hands on one another and prophesy over one another." About 35 or 40 or 50 of these ladies. Said, "I don't know why they don't call it a prophesying service." Said, "They call it a prayer, but they don't never pray. They spend all the afternoon prophesying over one another." And she said, "I don't ever get anything but a bad prophecy." Well, I believe I'd be like her. I wouldn't want that either. She said, "They prophesied that my mother was going to die. Oh, I mean, months and months ago, she'd be dead in 6 months," and said, 18 months have gone by and she's still not dead. Praise the Lord. "They prophesied my husband was going to leave me. Well, he's not saved, but he's a fine man, a good man. I love him. He's a good provider, and he never has left me. We don't have any trouble at all." And I said, "That's just an example. I always get something bad's going to happen to me. And nothing bad's ever happened." I said, "No, and it's not either, because you're a child of God." She said, "Isn't that a misuse?" I said, "Yes, it's a misuse." Well, now we need to know these things. Amen. And, you know, in any kind of service, of course, if you have a prayer service, well, that's what you were there to do, to pray. So it's all right to spend all your time or most of your time praying. But you don't want all of just one thing ordinarily in a service. And I don't know why they called it prayer. Prayer anyway, when all did, they called it, we're having a prophesying service every week. But I said that to you so you could see that it's easily, we can get off track. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about these things, so that they would know that he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. Hallelujah. Well, we need that. That's edifying. That's upbuilding. That'll help us. Blessed be the name of the Lord.